Recorded Books presents Along the Indigo by Elsie Chapman, narrated by Rebecca Quinn Robertson. Chapter 1. This early in the summer, Marsden hadn't yet remembered how far sound could carry coming from an open window. She half scowled as she looked back at the boarding house, the lights from the exposed bedrooms blazing into the near dusk like eyes from the shadows. Echoes of Nina's brisk instructions. Softer lipstick, bolder eyebrows, heels should be taller than 4 inches, swirled out into the air from behind mesh screens. Low murmurs as the girls fixed one another's hair, as they chose between dresses, as they wondered who would be the unlucky one that night. The one to end up with the oldest John or the ugliest, the cheapskate, the fetishist. Her mother, she knew, mostly dreaded the old ones. Shine feared age as though it were contagious, the weakness she said it was.
Marsden, you're tipping the bucket. We're losing berries.
What? I'm not.
You are.
She glanced down at the ice cream bucket in her hand, saw that her little sister was right, and tilted it back to save the rest of the berries they'd just picked. Saskatoon ones, purple as night, hard as gems. They would still be more tart than sweet. Marsden knew they could have used more time on the bush, but when Wynne had suddenly wanted to get her hair done with the girls, offering to take her out into the half-dark to pick berries for homemade strudels had been the first thing to pop into Marsden's head. Bribery. She would never be above it, if it meant saving Wynne from the truth. Still, she hadn't missed her sister's occasional glances back toward Nina's girls and the boarding house as they moved toward the berry bushes at the edge of the covert. Wistful, still longing. She'd understood it, even, despite not wanting to. That strange wish to get to know them well enough to call them friends. The ache to be surrounded by their sheer number, to let herself be cradled, and wanted, and accepted. Wynne tugged at more branches. Berries fell into the bucket, plunks like rain on a roof. Marsden sucked at her thumb, still pricked from when it met a thorn, and blood ran into the tastes of dinner. Salmon with dill and cream, grilled tomatoes, still lingering on her tongue. As one of two cooks for the boarding house, she'd made the dish dozens of times before. It was one of Nina's favorites to serve guests. Suddenly her sister froze, her gaze locked on something past the line of berry bushes, and dread rolled into Marsden's stomach. Because she knew, even before her eyes chased winds and saw what they saw deeper in the covert, lit up by the falling sun like a piece of shiny foil among all that dark green forest. The body was a pale slash, and Marsden sighed. Too late to try to hide it from Wynne. She'd checked the covert just that morning, as always, but she'd been in a hurry. Now that school was out, she had less time to comb the grounds before her sister was awake and up, wanting to play. She cursed herself for not being more careful, Summer for existing, and Nina for wanting Wynne out of the boarding house in the mornings while Johns were still slipping away.
I bet she used a gun, Wynne finally said,
no longer frozen but contemplative, nearly clinically so, as she analyzed the presence of one more dead person found in the covert. Seeing her like that dismayed Marsden, though she wasn't surprised. Wynne had grown up with the covert's secrets and not-so-secrets. This was all normal to her.
It's what I would use, her sister continued.
Don't say that. It's morbid.
What do you think she used?
Marsden sighed again. Probably a gun.
It wouldn't have hurt, right?
Wynne grabbed Marsden's hand. In the dim light, Marsden saw that berry juice had turned the tips of their fingers the shade of new bruises. The taste of blood on her tongue seemed to surge.
However that person died?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?